الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ادع إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن، إن ربك هو أعلم بمن ضل عن سبيله وهو أعلم بالمهتدين. آمنت بالله، صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected elders and most dear brothers, sisters who may be listening over the receivers, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In the verse of the Quran Sharif that I recited in the khutbah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala lays down certain important aspects with regards to da'wah and calling unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, commanding with goodness, forbidding from evil. And Rasulullah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid down important aspects which we as an ummah need to embrace. Because the reality and the fact of the matter is that as the ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our Rasul, our Prophet was a da'i, wa da'iyan ilallahi bi idhnihi wa sirajan munira. Allah describes Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a da'i, one who would call unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one who was a shining light. That was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another verse of the Quran, ya qawmana ajibu da'i Allah. In Surah Al-Ahqaf, it has been mentioned that the jinnat said that ya qawmana ajibu da'i Allah. Respond to the caller of who is calling towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a da'i. And we as his ummatis are also da'is. Nabi alayhi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another verse of the Holy Quran that you, O ummat, are the best of ummats. Your job is, you have been selected for the benefit of mankind, and the salient feature of this ummat is تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. That you are always siding with goodness. You never side with evil. You always call towards goodness and you forbid from evil. So, in the particular verse that I recited in the khutbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has laid down certain guidelines as to how we should be conducting our affairs in this regard. First of all, we need to embrace the fact that we are an ummah that needs to call towards goodness and forbid from evil. This is everyone's job. It is not the job of a select few of people. In whatever capacity we can, we have to. As the head of a household, you need to command towards goodness and forbid from evil. As the head of a family, you need to command towards goodness, forbid from evil. As the head of a business, we need to do the very same thing. As the head of a community, community leaders need to do the very same thing. And this goes across the board. Every person is his responsibility. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam once said in a hadith, كَيْفَ بِكُمْ إِذَا تَرَكْتُمُ الْأَمْرَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهْيَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. My sahaba, what will the condition of the ummah be when they will leave out commanding with good and forbidding from evil? The sahaba could not even imagine that such a time will ever come. They asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and they said, وَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ لَكَائِنٌ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Will such a time ever come that this ummah, whose salient feature it is to command of good and forbid from evil, will such a time ever come that this ummah will be siding with evil? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Na'am wa ashaddu min. Yes, and a time even worse than that will come. And he said, Kayfa bikum idha ra'aytumul munkara ma'rufan wal ma'rufa munkara. What will your condition be, O my ummah, when you start seeing evil as good and good as evil? So, therefore, it is important for us to embrace this fact that this is our responsibility. But then there is a way and a manner in which this has to be done. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that in this particular verse, and those are the ingredients that I would like us to discuss today, in today's Jummah discussion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ud'u ila sabili rabbik bil hikmah. The first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that call towards the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in other words, call towards goodness with hikmat and wisdom. That is the first thing that we need to do. Nasihat is, and advising people, is not a stone that you just pick up and throw at anyone. In the words of my Ustad, Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani Sahab, Damat Barakatuh, he said, Nasihat is not something like that. There is a lot of hikmat and wisdom that needs to be embarked upon when a person is calling towards goodness. Hikmat. There has to be hikmat and wisdom when a person calls towards goodness. You cannot be blunt all of the time about things. You cannot be brash about things. You cannot just say it as it is all of the time. You have to call towards goodness with hikmat and wisdom. And I want to draw your attention to perhaps a particular incident, something that happened in the life of Hazrat Muzaffar Hussain Kandelvi Rahmatullah Alayh. Maulana Muzaffar Hussain Kandelvi Rahmatullah Alayh, he was traveling from one place to another, and it happened to be the time of Maghrib, so he went into a village in India, as it is in those days. And he went to the masjid because it was the time of Maghrib Salah. When he went into the masjid, he saw that the masjid was in a very pitiable state. It was dirty, filthy. You could see that people hadn't come there for months or years perhaps. Nevertheless, he cleaned up the masjid, whatever he could as a traveler. He made his wuzu, he gave the azan, he performed his salah. And after that, he did the very same thing. He said that, look, I'm a traveler, I can just move on, but my job is to call people towards goodness and forbid from evil, so I need to find out why the people of this locality have abandoned their masjid. Why are they not coming to the masjid? So he went to the people and he asked them that, why are you not coming to the masjid? So the people said, look, our leader and our chief of this locality, he doesn't come to the masjid. If he starts coming to the masjid, we will also go to the masjid. So he said, who is your chief? And they directed him towards the chief. So he went to the chief and he explained to the chief that, look, if you start going to the masjid, then all of the people will start going to the masjid and you will get the reward for everyone. Man sanna sunnatan hasanatan, فَلَهُ عَمَلُهَا وَعَمَلُ مَنْ عَمِلَ عَلَيْهَا. A person who starts a good act, he will get its reward, and everyone who acts upon that will get its reward as well. So he said, after a little bit of discussion, he said, look, since you are saying, Maulana, I will start going to the masjid, but I have two conditions. Two conditions I have. One is that I drink alcohol, and I'm not going to give that up, and I loose woman visit me, and I'm not going to give that up either. Na'uzu billah, Allah protect. That is the first thing. And the second thing is that I find it very difficult to make wuzu, and therefore I am going to go without wuzu. That is my condition. I'm going to go to the masjid, I'll make my salah, but I won't make wuzu. Now can you imagine? Can you imagine the conditions that he is making here? But Maulana said to him that, you know, I didn't ask you to make wuzu and I didn't ask you to even give up all your bad habits. You go to the masjid at least. You just go to the masjid. I'm talking about hikmat, wisdom. How you call a person towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, Maulana, are you sure that you're giving me these two conditions? Now it wasn't, it's not the right thing. You can't be performing your salah without wudu. You can't be engaging. But to bring the person closer, Maulana said these things, and then Maulana left him and he went to the masjid and he cried before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he said, Allah, this is how much I could do. To make him make wudu and come is your job. Ya Allah, you do that much. So this person had agreed with Maulana, tomorrow from Zohar time, it was after Maghrib when this discussion took place, tomorrow from Zohar time, I'm going to do this. And at Zohar time the next day, he remembered the pledge that he had made to Maulana Muzaffar Hussain Kandelvi Rahmatullah Alayhi, and he said that I have to honor that pledge now. I made the conditions, fine. And he said that, look, let me embark and go to the masjid. But just before going to the masjid, a thought crossed his mind and he said that, I'm going for the first time after so long, let me at least take a ghusl and go. After this I won't make wuzu. And this first time he took ghusl, he made his wuzu, he headed off to the masjid. And when he headed out to the masjid and they started the salah, his life changed forever. He gave up all of his evil habits and he also started coming regularly to the masjid whilst making wudu. He realized himself. A lot of the things people realize themselves, but we have to call with hikmat and wisdom. There is another incident that has been mentioned of Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali. Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali was traveling in a train from one part of India to another part of India. And the cabins used to have some other people who were seated there. There were sleepers. And those who have been there will know how it is. But Maulana was traveling with one of his companions, Khaja Azizul Hasan Majzoob Rahmatullah Ali. And there was another person, Muslim brother, who was seated in the same cabin. And they were an intellectual brother. He was a professional and they were engaging in discussions until the time of a salah came. So Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi told his companion, not the other brother, he told his own companion that, look, I'm going to go and make wudu, then I will come back, you make wudu and come back, and then we'll perform our salah together. But they didn't, so that's exactly what they did, but they didn't tell this other brother that you need to perform his salah. And after the salah, this brother didn't get up, he didn't perform his salah. The discussion carried on the same way, without Maulana changing his mood, his attitude, or anything like that. The time for the next salah came, and they did exactly the same thing. At that time, Hazrat Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah Ali told Maulana quietly, Maulana, why don't you tell him also to make his salah? Softly. He couldn't hear. So Maulana told Khaja Sahib softly also that Khaja Sahib, he is a Muslim. He knows he has to make his salah. He can see us making our salah. He knows he has to go to the masjid. I don't have to tell him that. So Khaja Sahib Rahmatullah Ali realized that, look, it seems as though I have overstayed. There was no need for me to make that comment. And they remained silent after the salah. They carried on with the discussion, not a frown on the face, no change in facial expressions, nothing like that. A few weeks later, and they got off at their next stop whenever the stop came. A few weeks later, this intellectual, this professional met Hazrat Khaja Sahib somewhere. And he said that, Khaja Sahib, you know, we were traveling together on that day. And I did not make my salah, you people made your salah. Yet Maulana did not look down upon me, he did not say anything to me, he didn't change, the discussions carried on as normal. And he said, Khaja Sahib, it was that day and today, and I haven't missed a single salah. It was just the way that you people went about it that made me change my life. Udu'u ila sabili rabbika bil hikmati. Call towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with wisdom. There must be wisdom in how we call towards goodness. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wal maw'idatil hasan. And with good counsel, the good way of speaking to people. Who said we need to be harsh? Who said we need to use swear words to call towards the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to call towards that which, even if someone is doing something wrong, do we need to exert all powers and efforts and use every sense of language that we have in our tongues? Imagine, Fir'aun, in his time, there wasn't a greater oppressor than Fir'aun. He used to kill the boy children, let the woman children live alive, stay alive. He used to cut off those people who went against him. He said, لَأُقَطِّعَنَّ أَيْدِيَكُمْ وَأَرْجُلَكُمْ مِنْ خِلَافٍ. I'm going to cut off your hands and feet from opposite ends. And I'm going to crucify you. وَلَأُصَلِّبَنَّكُمْ فِي جُذُوعٍ. I'm not going to make you hang until you die on the branches of date palms. This is the kind of... He said, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى. I am the Lord Supreme, نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. These are the things he said. And in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's infinite knowledge, it was already there that this person is not going to accept the truth. But still, when he sent Musa and Harun alayhi as-salam to Fir'aun, he said, idhaba ila Fir'aun, innahu tagha. Go both of you to Fir'aun, he has transgressed all bounds. But when you go to him, faqula lahu qawlan layyina. When you go to him, then speak softly. There's no need to be harsh. لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى. Perhaps he will take lesson, or he will start fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught them to make da'wah. Good counsel. Speak softly. About Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, Nabi Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that it is because of mercy that they are close to you, these sahaba. If you were harsh and hard-hearted, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيظَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْفَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. They would have run away. They wouldn't have stayed here. You want to call towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we need to be soft. We don't have to repel evil with evil. Look at the people of Aad. They told Hazrat Hud alayhi salam, they said, Inna lanaraka fi safahatin wa inna lanadhunnuka min al-kadibin. The Prophet, they told him, that we find you to be a foolish guy. And you are a liar. That's what he didn't say to them, no, you people are foolish and you people are liars and your forefathers were liars and your grandfather is a liar. He didn't say it like that. He said, what did he say? Ya qawmi in. Ya qawmi laysa bi safah. Walakinni rasulun min rabb. My people, I am not a foolish one. I am a messenger from... This is how you respond. Good counsel. Speak in a nice way, in a soft manner. If you say the right thing, in the right manner, on the right occasion, with the right intention, you must see the right results. You have to see the right results. But if any of these four ingredients are missing, you say the right thing, in the right manner, on the right occasion, with the wrong intention, you won't see the right result. You say the right thing, with the right intention, on the right occasion, in the wrong manner. You're saying it in the wrong manner, you won't see the right result. And you say the right thing, with the right intention, in the right manner, on the wrong occasion, then also you won't see the right result. And if you're saying the wrong thing altogether, then of course you're not going to see the right results. Therefore, these utterances that we make with our tongue are so important, how we make them. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, or it was him or one of the other great people who had on their ring inscribed, Jirmuhu Saghir wa Jurmuhu Kabir, referring to the tongue. The size of this tongue is small, but the ability to engage in sin is massive. And sometimes that sin also comes out in the way we feel that we're calling towards goodness. And we're calling in any manner. But that is not calling towards goodness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to to understand these two salient ingredients if we can put into our lives, in any aspect of our life. We want to reform our children. We want to pass on good knowledge. We want to tell our wives something. Do it in this manner, with hikmat and wisdom and good counsel. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq of amal. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.